This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this hour where all the energy that you have gathered in the place of prayer would be given a sharpening at the edges so that we can positively put those graces to work and have good results in our lives. I'm going to be speaking to us today from the scriptures. I'm going to use the book of Genesis 31 as the basis for this class. And it is important that as you listen to me, that you hear me with your spirit. The Lord God Almighty is deliberate in how he raises the sons of glory, the sons of light, his principle, and the way he does his things are the same. He does not change principles. He is consistent. If there is anyone that is consistent in how he raises his children, it is God. God has no alternates or diverse or different ways of raising children. He raises all children the same way. All of us raises us the same way, gives us the same benefits, gives us the same rights, gives us the same salvation. God gives us everything equally, the same measure. Nobody has an advantage with God. Nobody has an advantage. The moment you come into God, you become royalty. So all of us have bequeathed royal status. And as a result of that, each child would then be the one to determine how far he or she would go with his or her royal status according to his own mindset, which is why it is important that we renew our mind and receive the mind of Christ. In the book of Genesis chapter 31, we saw the story of Jacob and Laban, and I know many of us will have heard many sermons on this, but today I just want to show you some two or three things that it is likely that you have never heard before. You will notice that the reason Laban prospered was not because he was a good businessman. He wasn't a bad businessman. He was an okay businessman. And then he took in somebody that had received the anointing, the blessing of his father. Now you will notice that the blessing of the father did not come with any material things attached. Let me say that again. When Isaac blessed Jacob, Isaac did not give him land or house or car or money for investment or a trust fund. All he received from his father were words. Words, blessings. I give you the deal of heaven. I give you the fatness of the earth. I give you corn. I give you wine. You also notice that when he left his father's house, the Bible said he had only a staff with him. He didn't even take a goat. He didn't even take a sheep. All he had with him was a staff. So there was no material blessing given. I see many Christians today who are anointed. We are all praying together now. Anointed Christians, full of the Holy Spirit, that they want to do a business. And they are stranded because they don't have money. They can be in one place for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. They will tell you there's no fund to execute the project. There's no fund to do it. There's no money. And many of us, when they say that, we will nod our head. We'll be like, we understand. Like, yeah, I understand. Oh, this is a very good idea. Wow, why didn't you get it done? There's no money. I couldn't raise the fund. I wrote a letter to investors. Nobody showed up. I wrote a letter to this. Nobody showed up. And Christians are fond of doing that. Let me tell you. There's nobody in the Bible, not one, that is successful. That is exceedingly successful. That God gave him money. Or that God gave land for houses. There's no example. You can't give me one. Not one. Is it not puzzling to you how people, God will give people nothing but his anointing, and people will go on to build nations out of it? Abraham received the word of God, built nations out of it. Jesus received no dime, no money, built nations out of it. John the Baptist received no dime, no money, built nations out of it. All the apostles received no dime, no money, built nations and systems out of it. Does it not make you think twice about this thing that all of us allow to limit us? This cry for money. This thing that you're allowed to handicap us, this thing is in your mind. This thing. You have to get rid of it. You have to. Because if you don't get rid of it, you would make the same mistake. Many of us are already making it. The same mistake that Jacob then made. So Jacob had received the blessing, but he didn't receive any money. So they said, oh, your brother wanted to kill you. So in order to save your life, because you really cheated your brother and your brother has a right of anger against you, go to your mother's brother's house. Go and stay there for a while until your brother's anger passes. But this guy has received a blessing. The blessing of the father. He has received his father's blessing. But the blessing was not tangible. It wasn't money. It wasn't gold. It wasn't silver. It wasn't sheep. It wasn't car. It wasn't an industry or a company. There was nothing tangible to see. So the blessing was intangible. But he, like many Christians, did not see it as something to negotiate with. You didn't see it as something to put as currency. Many of us don't see the blessing. We don't see the anointing of the Lord as currency that we can spend. It's why we always assume that God does not work in abstracts. That it is only in the tangible. But that's not true. God works in every space. In the tangible as well as, in fact, it is the things that be not that is said, the things that be not, he said they will dislodge the things that be. It is the intangible that takes over from the tangible. The abstract produces the creativity for the material. Otherwise, there will be no movement forward. There will be no room to innovate. It is in the abstract that we innovate. And then we produce it and we put it in the material. And then we get tired of it and then we produce more. It is in the abstract that somebody woke up one day and said, I'm going to create a telephone. There has to be a way to communicate between here and someplace so that I don't have to go there. Since I cannot be in two places at once and I cannot keep traveling, there has to be a way. It is in the abstract. Was it not Alexander Graham Bell that sat down and was thinking of it? There has to be a way to communicate between two locations without having to be personally present there. They invented writing to solve the problem at the beginning, abstract. And then they said, oh, the time for letters to get to their location is too slow, sometimes 3 months, sometimes 4 months. Okay. What else can we do? Then they created the telegraph. Okay, so we can post it. Then say, okay, there has to be a way to get voice into two locations. And it was in the abstract, in the abstract. The abstract is key. And the writing is extremely abstract. Because when you have it, you don't, unless you are conscious of it, you don't really think you have anything. Many of us here, we are anointed, but we don't act as if we are anointed. We are not conscious of the anointing. If you are not conscious of something, you cannot put it to work. You cannot make it produce results for you. The consciousness of a thing determines how you behave. Imagine that you woke up in the morning. This has happened to me before. You woke up in the morning and you don't know you have any money. Like when you were sleeping yesterday, all you had in life and in heaven was 1,000 naira in your bank account. And you can't even withdraw it because that is the money that you have to keep in that account. So you have no money. You woke up in the morning, there's a way you will feel. Broke, no money. Then imagine at around 11, 12, you begin to feel hungry. You are hungry, you want to eat. But you are sitting at home. You have tried to watch TV. You have tried to do other things. You have sat down before the computer, but the hunger pang was so great. You are hungry. So then I told you, let me take a stroll. Let me take a stroll. Let me just walk around. Maybe I can see somebody on the floor on the road. Maybe I can meet somebody I know. Maybe I can just, because sometimes you wear your shoes, dress up, then you step out. As you step out, you are walking on the road. You are thinking, ah, God, I'm hungry. Ah, you walk beyond one eatery. You are looking at people eating inside, but you have no money. Ah, you are shaking your head. You walk beyond another eatery. You saw people eating. You are shaking your head. You are like, ah, God, I'm hungry. Somebody can just buy me a meal. Somebody can just buy me a meal. I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. Lord, I'm hungry. And then you meet somebody. Hi, hello. Ah, how are you? Ah, what have you been up to? Oh, I'm just, ah. Hey, thank God, though. You know, yesterday when I saw the money that they sent to us for the project we did 3 months ago, I was so happy. He said, what money? You didn't get any alert? I didn't. Go and check your bank. They would have dropped the money. Hey, the job we did for that man that was working at motorways, he has paid now. Do you know how to feel immediately you know you don't have money? Meanwhile, you have the money. All the while you are walking up and down, saying that God buy me a meal. Money was sitting in your bank account. Money was there. But you are not conscious of it. So you are hungry, but you are not meant to be hungry because there is money. what I explained to you now happened to me, like literally, like happened to me maybe 2008. I was like, so I had money in the bank and I was hungry and I was hungry for long. So I just turned back and I walked into the eatery. I walked into the eatery. No. I walked to the bank. I was a bank. A UBA bank close by. I put my ATM card and I first checked the balance. I saw that there was money. First thing first was that the weights that the hunger brought was lifted. And then we drew some money and went to eat. My behavior before I got conscious and after was different. That is the same thing with the anointing. Many of us, we do not know that the anointing is coming. So when we negotiate, we don't negotiate well. We don't. We do not even count it as anything. A lot of us, we behave like Esau. We despise our inheritance. We do not put it on the negotiation table. We don't. And I find it funny because this is the most tangible thing that a Christian can have. And many Christians, they act as if it is irrelevant. You and your friend want to bid for a contract. Your friend says, oh, I'm going to put in 50 million. You tell your friend, okay, I'm going to give 20 million. He said, oh, but how do we get, we need 100 million for this job. He said, don't worry. I'm going to put in 20 million of my anointing. We'll get the contract. Your friend says, no, no. What do you mean you are anointing? He said, yeah, if I tell anybody that, I mean it, I, Benga, if I tell anybody that, they usually go with me. See, they want to do a business. I will say, okay, I will leverage grace. I will say it. I deliberately do things like that. I will leverage grace. If I back you on this, you are not going to fail. If I back you, and I'm not going to put in a dime, and I'll back you. I will just give you my word. And then go. And many of us don't behave like that. Because we do not see the anointing the way we should. We do not see it as currency, as bankable, as a real thing. Many of us just think it is an abstract language, something that only Christianese language, it is not applicable in engaging the world. You need to change that thing. You sincerely need to change that mindset. All of us here. You need to. Because if you don't, the world will always be 10 steps ahead of you. Because you are going to be engaging them on their terms. And yet, the greatest of all things has been given to you. So Jacob got to Laban, and he didn't see the anointing he has received as anything important. So when Laban wanted to give him a job, see the negotiation of Jacob. See, he acted like somebody that was beggarly. Like, sir, I didn't come to your house with anything. I didn't have everything. And I said, okay, I'll give you a job. I'll not pay you wages. So a man that has grace. So, for example, if you are bringing your expertise to a company is not doing well. Many of us will understand this. A company is not doing well, but they have money. They have money, they have resources, they have a team, but they are just not, they are losing money. And then they come to head on to you. They say, come and work with us. We know that when the other organizations should manage, you manage them well. You have expertise in this. We are hemorrhaging money. We are losing money. Come and help us. You then sit down with them. You are not giving any money. You then negotiate to tell them, okay, if I turn this company around, these are my terms. Can you see that you can leverage abstract? That's abstract. Your expertise is abstract. Because you are not putting anything tangible in quotes down. However, You are putting your expertise, which means your skill, your knowledge, what you have to offer that is within you that nobody else has. You are going to put it on the table and you are going to say, okay, I'm leveraging my expertise. I'm going to come work for you. I will turn your company around in 6 months. And then you get to the company, you look at their books, you put in your expertise and you turn it around and they begin to make money and they will gladly pay you. Why? For your expertise, which is intangible. If you understand my class so far, can I see your hand, please? Do you understand? Are you following me? Or am I talking to myself? Thank you. So if you can put expertise on the table and people would sign a contract with you, no guarantee of success, but they've seen you do it before. They've seen you do it before. They're like, come, come. They'll get a coach in football. A team is losing badly. The team is losing badly. They'll say, go and get Jose Mourinho. They'll bring him in. It is the same football team. It is the same football team that has been losing. They say he will bring in his expertise. He has a know-how. That is intangible. You cannot, he's not bringing in any money. But you are sure that when he comes, players will sit up. He will do them. He will do this. He will do that. And then he comes in and he delivers. Say, wow. He came in and he did what he knows how to do. The same with the anointing. The same with the anointing. But many of us don't leverage on the anointing that way. And it bothers me that Christians do not understand that either you like it or not, your anointing is a part of you, inextricably. A part of you. So Jacob got to the house of Laban and he asked grace. But when he was negotiating, he negotiated like somebody who had nothing. The Bible said, he got to Laban and Laban said, oh, okay, you know, you didn't come here with anything. And you need a job, right? Okay. So I'm paying you so amount every week to take care of my sheep. Said, okay, sir. He didn't say, oh, I have been keeping sheep for my parents at home. I'm very good at it. So this is the time that is favorable to me. I will take care of the sheep, but I will get, at the end of every season, I will get 20%. I will get 30%. He just said, yes, sir. No. He didn't leverage on his grace. And yet the Bible said it was because of him that labor and prospered. So his anointing, his expertise was what turned this local businessman into an international businessman. Was what turned a man that had 100 head into a man that started having thousands. Was what turned a man that had one house to a man that had 50 houses. Was what turned a man whose children were not useful into rich children, because he began to take from the anointed and he began to keep with his own children. That's what the Bible said. That Jacob will do all the work with grace. The result will show forth. And then Laban will come and collect his result and give it. My first son, you take everything this one worked for. He will give it to his first son. Then this guy will do another work and then he will give it to his second son. So therefore, he began to establish his own children with another person's grace. Began to enlarge his own business with another person's grace, because the owner of the grace did not know how to leverage on it. Did not know how to leverage on it. Did not see it as a tangible thing. Maybe he felt he was just lucky. The Bible recorded that this thing went on for 21 years. How can grace suffer like that? How can anointing suffer so much? A man that is anointed, a woman that is anointed, will be in one spot for years. When they are singing song of sorrow, it will be lamenting. Things are not good. Nigeria is not this. Nigeria is not that. Economy is bad. It will be lamenting. We say, I'm working. But, you know, last year, we made a turnover of 8.6 million. Well, how much was my take home? How much did they pay me? So the things I'm doing for this company, how much are they paying? They are not recognizing my good work. They don't reward good work in my company. They don't. Pravinga, when I joined this company, it was losing money. They had nothing. In fact, they hired me at the time as a front desk officer. I was the one that developed the schematic and this and that and the system that I took it to the personnel manager and I took it to the HR and then and but till today, I will see Christians say things like that. You know how Jesus Christ said that we should be as wise as serpents. And many of us do not understand the imagery and the language that Jesus used there. Because all of us hate snakes and serpents, so we don't bother to look deep into it. We are so sheepish. It is a bother. When there are two wrangling in the office between a Christian and unbeliever, the Christian will be the one to say, what will not stress me will not kill me. Then let them have it. No. There's nothing we bring to this world. There's nothing taking anything away. Let them advance. They are planning to take 30 people abroad from the office for a trip. Do you know they left out my name? Ah, did you escalate it? No. I left it for God. And yet, this same Christian would come back to church, kneel down, and be crying, Lord, Lord. He like Jacob, crying at home. But there is grace on your life. Weeping. Weeping. From a man with one wife to a man with four wives. If you don't know, Jacob was a polygamist. He had two wives, two concubines, and 12 children. And he said the same amount he was paid when he was a bachelor. He said it was even changed 10 times. They continued to reduce his wages, despite the fact that he continued to increase his responsibility. Did you notice that Jacob's children were so risk poor that he got to a day? Go and read the story of Jacob. A day came. Rachel and Leah, they had to fight over mandrake. Like, this one went to the farm to get vegetable. She was coming. The other one said, ah, my sister, I want to eat vegetable. I want to eat that. Ah, I've missed. I want to eat vegetable. The other one said, okay, if I give you vegetable, our husband will sleep with me tonight. They negotiated Jacob over sex. Ah, poverty is a bad thing. Said, and then the Bible said, the dad one said, okay, I'll take the mandrake. When he comes home today, send him to my room. So, and the Bible recorded it like that over food, a sister sold her rights to the husband, to the other sister, so that the husband can sleep with the other sister for that day because of food. It's in the Bible. In your Bible. A man of grace. A man that received the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven. A man that received corn and wine that his father gave to him, but he didn't see it. He didn't see it. To him, it was intangible. Many of us are like this. We gather like this, we pray, we worship. The anointing will flow. But it has become like a clownish circus. Because where the anointing really matters, it's not inside the church. Oh, we just finished a 3 days retreat. Oh my God, I've never seen God move in that dimension before. That's me. I know many people that came for the retreat, they were like, my God, what is this? I've never seen anything like this before. Ah, we've left the retreat. We have gone back into our various locations. And we are talking about it. Ah, this person fell. That person floated. This person dived.
Oh, somebody was somersaulting. Somebody was falling on the floor. Ah, the anointing was so much. I saw a vision for the first time. I hear this, I hear that. We are talking about these things. But the key, the evidence of those things is in the anointing that you now have. This anointing, however, is meant to be your expertise, your currency with which you engage the world. Look at how Jesus did it. The Bible said Jesus got into Peter's boat, and then all Jesus had was the anointing. Peter was the fisherman who had the skill and the expertise. So Jesus told Peter to launch into the deep. Peter said, "Sir, I can't. I've toiled all night. I'm tired. I've caught nothing. I'm just washing my net now. I have a lot of things I want to do, but I just don't know how to face my wife and children at home. I've caught nothing all night." Then Jesus Christ said, "Peter, launch into the deep." Then Peter said, "At thy word." See? "At thy word." So he launched. And then he took his net and he threw it. And what Jesus brought to the table, just the anointing, gave them such a catch that Peter needed help to bring in the haul. That's somebody that knew he had anointing. Somebody that is confident in the anointing. That's how they behave. Somebody that is confident in the anointing. That's how they behave. That's how they talk. That's how they think. That is how they behave. That is you knowing that the anointing I have is tangible. Say so you have received the anointing, the unction of the Holy One. You have the unction of the Holy One. You have the anointing of the Holy One. You have received the benevolence of the Holy One. You have received the grace of the Holy One. You have received the power of the Holy One, but you are not acting like it. You should change this mindset. It is very important that you change this mindset, that you see the anointing truly for what the anointing is. It is your advantage in this world. It is what gives you leverage over the devil, over the world, over mankind. It is what puts you ahead of the curve, this anointing that many of us are not, that we are speaking in tongues, we are seeing visions, we are doing, but we are not using it to engage in our places of business. Some of us here will remember a testimony, maybe about 3 years ago. We're having prophetic service. A sister from Makurdi wrote this testimony. She joined the prophetic service and she had a fish a cold room where they store fish. And that was the business she was operating. And then the generator sparked up. And there was no light. And she knew that all the fish there would go bad. And she was going to be at a loss, running into millions. With this concern in her heart, as a born-again Christian, she joined the prophetic service. Then the word went forth to her that not only has God preserved the cold room, that she would suffer no loss. And then she went and opened the cold room and found that everything was still very cold and that the fishes that she had in the store multiplied. I know some of the old timers among us will remember the testimony. Please, if you remember the testimony, can I see your hand? I just want to be sure that Some of us can remember it. Do you remember the testimony you are here? Oh, glory to God. Thank you. And that testimony shook me. Do you know? The reason the testimony shook me personally was because I was thinking that let's say there is no prophetic service. Didn't this sister know? Was she not conscious that she can never lose? That she can power up that place by the anointing? It didn't occur to her. It didn't occur to her that she can be at home and they'll say, oh, they've cut the light, there's no light for many days, and this and that, and there's a stay at home or whatever, and she will say, Hakapane, a gebandiago shite, fishes in the name of Jesus remain frozen by the power of the Holy Spirit. It didn't occur to her to do that. But when I saw the testimony, all of us were screaming and shouting, and I was like, okay, this is like a once, one-off. But is it possible that this is a constant in somebody's life? And the Lord said to me, oh, look around you. Look around you. Have I not proven that this is a constant? Have I not proven to you that this is a constant? And I was like, that's true. This is a constant around me. It shouldn't be a one-off. It should be a constant reality. But many of us don't engage the anointing. We live so much in the normal thinking, in our normal human mind. We live so much in it that we do not behave as if we have an advantage. We need to change this mindset. I personally cannot pray for hours. And if you see me pray well, and I pray well, if you see the way I behave, you'll be like, well, I bring God. It's as if the inside of me is carrying me to float. The words I speak and the way I see things change drastically. So I can alter reality. I can alter it. I can basically just shift reality simply because we've been praying. We're having a 30 days prayer of this magnitude that is global. And you are joining hour after hour, praying minute after minute. And many people, when they pray the wrong way. But we are teaching people how to pray right, which is why I can teach now. I'm no longer teaching, no, don't be praying in tongues. I'll be asking for food or water or drink. All these things have been given unto you. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Ghost to express himself through you. Then you command those things to come. That is basically level 101 of the anointing. That's how to pray. When you pray in tongues for a long time, or maybe an hour or 2 hours, or maybe there is a need. You don't say, Lord, I present this document to you. Please let help come to come. That's not how you pray. When you write, you will see that your words will be different. You don't be like, oh, contracts are done. And you take your eyes off it. And other people will be praying. And you are not even thinking about it anymore. It's gone. And then the result will come, and everybody will be like, ah, all of us prayed so hard, but you just said it is done and it is done. Why? Because you know that there is an unction. You have put the unction, you've leveraged it. You are not a beggarly Christian anymore. You are maturing in grace. And so you begin to practice things like that. The baby step of it was just to. When you first become a believer, you will say, Father, please, this application I wrote to this bank, please let them give me this job. I really need this job. That is baby Christian. Then that Christian receives the Holy Ghost, begins to pray in tongues. As they're praying, then the Holy Spirit says, okay, send the mail now. The moment you hear send the mail now, you already know you've gotten the job, even before you send the mail. Why? Because you heard from him to send the mail. But a lot of I sent the mail, but I will anger. Well, I'm not hoping that they will reply. No. That's doing it from the flesh. You hear from the Lord. He says, oh, go to this place. or go to that place or call this person. If the Lord says to you, call this person, you know as soon as you are picking your phone that that problem has already been solved. Because the Lord said to do it, leveraging on the anointing. But it is the mindset that we have, this mindset, where you are anointed, but you behave like Jacob. You behave like somebody who is not anointed. You talk like somebody who is not anointed. You fret like somebody who is not anointed. And that way you get cheated. Do you think Jacob did not pray? Do you know that suffering makes people pray? People will say they don't believe in God. When suffering catch you well, even though you may not believe, your mouth will be saying, God, have mercy on me. Please, when I get to this site today, let them give me opportunity to carry block. Please, you are going there to walk. You are praying as you are going. Don't let the foreman chase me away. Please, let the foreman, even if it's water, they'll let me carry. When I get to this building site, please, Lord, please, please, let them give me a job. Now, I kid you not. I kid you not. I met a man in Abuja, an architect. And we sat down together. I said, oh, you should come and see me. So we sat down together now there's no shouting there anymore, but then there was a shouting there. And we sat down and then we were talking and he said, oh, things are so difficult for me. I go to construction site now to carry block, to do labor work so that I can feed my children. And I said, you are an architect. He said, yes. Qualified, yes. What's wrong with you? He said, ah, times are hard. I said, hey, you are a Christian. You are anointed. He said, yes. I said, I said, let me show you something. I said, can I show you something? He said, this. Can I show you something? He said, this. I said, okay, come with me. Let's go to where they're having breakfast. So we walk into the place where they're having breakfast. We sat down. He was sitting. I was sitting. People are coming from all over to come and have breakfast at the hotel. It's a buffet in the morning. So at the point, I just stood up. I didn't know anybody there. I just stood up. I went to meet the guy. I said, good morning, sir. How are you? He said, fine. I said, oh, can I have a minute of your time? He said, oh, I'm pretty busy. I said, oh, it's about your wife. And then I mentioned the name of the wife. He said, what? I said, oh, she's not feeling fine, this and that. That the Lord said, do this. And the man said, wow. And he picked his phone immediately, called his wife. In 5 minutes, the man was practically... nothing he said, shocking. Ah, God bless you. Are you a man of God? Are you a pastor? And then I went to start with the brother and I said, what I just did, do you know that you can sit down here if you would leverage on your anointing? You can sit down in a room full of strangers and just tell the Lord, give me a word for somebody here. And in 5 minutes, 5 minutes, you will stand up, give that word, and all the connection you need in your life. To get something done, to get anything done, will be given. It was the anointing that made Jesus stand out. When they see people are thronging him, what do you think they are thronging him for? The anointing. He had it. And he put it to full display. And people are following him. The Bible said he will get to this city. The leaders of the city will send for him. Say, come and pray for this man. He's a centurion. His servant is sick. We want you to minister to the man. What do you think they are looking for? The anointing. You have it. It is the anointing that makes a Christian great. A Christian that can leverage on the anointing will in no time become great. In your place of work, you'll be great. At home, you'll be great. In the church you attend, you'll be great. You will stand out far above any other person in a crowd. It is the advantage the believer has. But when you don't engage the anointing and you allow the circumstances of life to dictate your days like it does for other people, you'll find things are going worse and worse. You know, in today's language, they say it's going worse and worse. It don't be going from good to bad, from bad. You are wondering why. And you are anointed. And you are lamenting. You put the anointing to work. the anointing to work. The prodigal son did not receive grace. He received money. Jacob received grace. He didn't receive money. The one that received grace, everything he touched prospered. The one that received money, everything he touched went down. Both of them are in the Bible. This thing, that this fixation many of us have with money. Oh, I would have done this, but I need money. I would have done that, but I need money. But you have anointing. Put it to work. Anointing produces people. After producing people, it will produce money. After producing money, it will produce land. It will produce buildings. It will produce buses. It will produce cars. It will produce international travel. Anointing will produce everything. The anointing is your advantage. Put it to work. Don't pray like this. Don't pray like this and remain the same. Don't let it turn into a religious thing. Because it is very easy for these things we are doing to become religious. For us to be observing quarterly prayer, and then you are just, thank God September is coming. We are going to do prevailing prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Another 30 days of speaking in tongues. It because the human mind is very quick to normalize supernatural things. To walk in the flesh is very easy for the human mind. So before you know it, every last Friday of the month, I cannot miss Holy Ghost service. So the person continues to go and their life does not get better. It becomes a religious thing. Because once it becomes a religious thing, I cannot miss Shiloh every year. I've been going for 22 years. It becomes a religious thing. As soon as it becomes a religious thing, it is no longer producing results for you. It has become normal. It is because the anointing is not being cashed in. So therefore, your body it becomes part of your routine, your yearly routine. You mark your calendar for the year. So it is no longer of any, giving you any advantage. And so it becomes a religious thing. And then they ask you, I've been attending the ministry for 40 years. What do you have to show for it? You have to show for it. And that is because you are not leveraging on the anointing. It's one of those things that personally I am deliberate about is to ensure that when I pray, that I do not pray just for the sake of praying. That there is a tangible result. There's a tangible outcome. There's a tangible measurable increase. Not only in my life, but in the lives of those that are around me, I really desire and deserve to see the result and the efficacy of prayer. So I do not allow prayer to become a normal thing for me or just one of the routines or a Christian that does not pray, the enemy will feel, the enemy does not touch me. So I do not pray out of fear. A Christian that does not pray, it's like to soon die out. That's not why I pray. No, no, no. I pray because there is freshness and then there is intensity of the anointing in me. I'm engaging the anointing so that I can use the anointing to engage the world. Let me say that again. There's the Holy Ghost inside of me. When I begin to pray in tongues, it's like charging my phone, putting it where it will get good network, so that I can write a tweet, or so that I can type, or so that I can, it is like that. I want to engage the world with my anointing. I want to engage. I want to burn down the farm of the Philistines. I want to burn it down. I'm a firebrand. And I want to bring in the sheaves. I want to bring in increase into myself. And therefore, I engage the anointing. But I do not engage the anointing for engaging the anointing's sake. I engage the anointing so that I'm fully charged up and then I engage the world. That is how you engage the world. Jesus does this all the time. He did it so many times. He will separate himself, engage the anointing, pray in the spirit, pray all night. Then during the day, he would engage the world, heal the sick, raise the dead, do so many things. And people began to come to him. People began to come to him. You will notice the kind of people he attracted. Those who don't like him, those who like him, those who called him a liar, those who are trying to challenge him. Everybody wanted to be around him. They were asking him questions. They were testing him. They knew that if they see them with him, talking to him, it boosts their profile. Hey, I'm engaging the rabbi. I'm talking to him. Where are you? We are talking with Jesus. Was it not that? No. You know that he does miracles. We just want to find out the source of his power, but we have to engage him. Nicodemus came. He came for the anointing. It was the anointing that brought him. Engage the anointing. It is a tangible. Don't be like Jacob. Don't keep suffering. Don't keep suffering. I'll be praying in tongues and saying God has not done it. Those things don't work together. It does not make any sense. All Jesus got was the anointing. All Peter got was the anointing. All John got was the anointing. Paul, all he got was the anointing. All of them were examples in the Bible. You read them. We quote them. We read them. We quote them. You are a business person. Your business is operating at maybe 200 million, 300 million, 400 million naira now. And you are doing, yes, if we do the sales of this year, we do this, we will have made 50,000, 50 million profit this year. That's a good number. No, that's not a good number. That is when you do it according to business principle. There is a greater number when you engage the anointing. There is nothing that says that a 500 million business cannot become a 5 billion business within a year. I'm telling you, these things that I say, don't assume. You have to know that these things are a result of my own workings. I do not make claims that I cannot prove or that I cannot back with evidence. When you engage the anointing and you tell your products increase in value. Increase in value. Those who use you, they will return because you are going to be of great benefit to them. You lay hands on your own products. There are so many of you selling the same product. You lay hands on your own product. You open your scriptures. You read according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You read some scriptures. You read them all over. When you read them, you bless all your products. You say, where you go, none of you would be damned. None of you. Where you go, those who use you, they will just have this affinity to use you again. Your product will be screaming. Everywhere they take them to, they will be screaming your name, the name of your company. Go to JSW. Go to JSW. Everybody will say, we like this thing. We want to go. But this person is also selling. They say, no. It is this person's one we want because you are engaging the anointing. Don't play with the anointing. Don't treat the anointing as if just for religious thing. It is not. It is your advantage in this world. If you are anointed, anything you touch, bless, still that. Look, God did not curse out your way. It's not true. You say, God has called me into sugar, so I cannot sell salt. It's a lie. Anything you touch will be blessed. It's just that you are not engaging the anointing. I don't think many of us don't. We should. That is why I'm here today. You cannot be praying like this. Very soon, today is 10. We are 10 days gone in this month. There should be supernatural thunders, lightning up everywhere around you. The anointing is not just to heal the sick and raise the dead. The anointing is also to spend the billions. Not to collect it from people, not to be collecting off it and down and be doing, bring your title. We don't use anointing for that. We use the anointing to bring kings, to bring nations to the kill, to their knees. We use the anointing to submit, to subject principalities and powers under the foot of Christ. We use the anointing to project the reality of Christ over all things. If we engage the anointing the right way, don't be like Jacob. I know people that have been born again for 40 years, 30 years, that they have nothing to show for their lives and they are full of the Holy Ghost because they didn't have the right mindset towards the anointing. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. No matter what you touch, you will be blessed. Engage the anointing in everything. When I write, When I write, I bless my writings. When I post them, people rush into my DM. I tell my writings to go and do the work of ministry. They will do the work. People will write to me months later. Somebody got healed. Somebody rose from the dead. Went to a website. The anointing has to be on everything that concerns you. Engage the anointing. Treat it as expertise, as a tangible thing that you put on the table and say, I'm negotiating with my anointing. Become conscious of the anointing that way. Please, as we pray, the Lord will honor our prayers. And as you speak, the Lord will honor your words. The anointing on you will work great and mighty things all over the earth. It will proclaim your name and the name of your product and company to the nations and far regions of the earth. People will, because of the anointing, look for you and locate you. They will search for you. You are anointed. Thank you, Father. It's time to give our offering. I ask of you, because there's an instruction. The offering we give is to the poor, not to the ministry. You are blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit because He gave us an instruction and we are obeying Him. He said, whenever we meet like this quarterly, all offerings should go to the needy, the poor, the needy, the widows, those who are the destitute. In the last 10 days, I've done that consistently, met many needs. A lot are still in my DM, we are still meeting them. None shall be left behind. So when you give, you are giving unto the Lord. You are giving because God said give. So please give. Don't hold back and say, oh, it's for the poor. So no. That's not the right attitude. I do not miss the opportunity to give to the Lord, and this is the best way to give to the Lord. I declare that you are blessed, that your barns are fruitful, that your lands are fruitful, and your barns are full of profit and increase. I declare that your children are blessed. I declare that you will never be poor. You will not suffer like Jacob. Your anointing will speak. Speak in high places, speak in the corridors of power. The anointing will bring unto you the advantage it carries, and you shall be called blessed all the days of your life. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Bless somebody that is blessed. Shout glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.